Oh, that's right. We're right here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. Hey, I am Ann Eller, and I have a really special treat for you here this afternoon. I have Chip Tinsley, who is an administrator and a classroom teacher over there in Ware Shoals. And I have Carol Scales, woman about town, woman of mystery.
A member at this point was Mr. Odell. Tommy Odell was on the commission. And we would have meetings, and that's about all we did was we would hold meetings. There was no leadership, and things just didn't get done. So when I was able to bow out of that, I did take that opportunity. But over the past few years, there's been a change, and the new people on the Cooksbury Commission and the new vision and the thoughts of making it a destination point, being able to use it, push it forward into the future, seek money, look for grants, things of that nature. So it is moving forward, and it's a good thing. It ties into history. Cokesbury, the village ties into Tabernacle, which the Historical Society owns. So it is, as Carol said, it all ties together. It fills together. Much of it predates much of Greenwood. And it's just important to the history of this town. And as we try in the Historical Society to educate and to promote and to continue to show what we need to do in the future of Greenwood, it all ties back to from where we came.
You have to remember, from 54 to 67, 54, the school district stopped using Cokesbury as an elementary school in that area. And so it kind of was abandoned. And the Methodist conference had put out the word that it was to be demolished. And a single lady in Greenwood decided that there was just too much history out there.
Who was that?
It was Nell Graydon.
Nell Graydon.
And she, almost single-handedly, sold a cookbook that she put together. And raised $10,000 for the first renovation.
Now, that's a lot of cookbooks.
A lot of cookbooks back in that time. And a lot of good cookbooks. And we're pleased at the commission that we have reprinted that cookbook. And that's one of our fundraising things. So when we have the garden clubs out there, we had Wesley Commons Group recently. That's one of the things that, you know, we're pushing to sell. When I talked to Girl Scout, I had a little Girl Scout group out there, and I had some children. I always point out, you know, how we say one person can make a difference, and everybody says, but you need a whole bunch of things. Here was one person who had an idea and pushed it and saved this place, which was amazing.
And
that can happen today.
You know, the thing about it is, though, I think, when we come back, I want to ask you a question about, why do we need to keep these things? What is the importance of history? I mean, we look at our young people. We look at our world today. Do we need history? Hey, we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. My very special guest this afternoon, Carol Scales and Chip Tinsley. And we're talking about the Jefferson Davis Driving Tour, which is coming up this Sunday. That's right, at 2 p.m. We're going to talk about some
1
of
p.m.
the 1 p.m.
1
well,
p.m.
it says what, 2
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
okay.
1 p.m.
I guess you get together and then you head out from there. So we're going to talk more about this, but you know, I think about this, and I think about history, and I think about the shape our country's in. By the way, what subject are you teaching, Chip?
World geography and government.
How's that going?
Well, it's fun from a teacher perspective, but it's a challenge each and every day to get students involved, so to speak. You know, the new standards and the new things that you have to teach sometimes take away from a lot of things that maybe you would like to teach.
Right. Yeah. So I have, I've talked to many teachers, and they really are in a quandary in government and history. I mean, you know, when we talk about things like civics, I mean, you know, if we had civics, do you think it would make a difference in how our students perceived government?
Well, as part of the new government plan, teaching plan, either this year or next year, students are going to have to take a civics test, mm-hmm. According to the legislature. Now, I don't think it's going to determine their pass or failure or their graduation. And I did tell students the first week of school, I said, now, we're doing a citizenship test right now. And, of course, the success rate was not the best as we started school, but we talked about all the questions. And I said, now, before you graduate, you'll have to take a civics test, a citizenship test. And we had a great discussion about that. So getting kids interested in history, interested in government, interested in geography, it's something that just, it's not immediate to them. It's not something that is immediate to them like the cell phone or the job or the sport or the activity or the girlfriend. Those things are immediate.
Right.
History is not the interest to most of them. You do have the few that really love it and enjoy it, but getting them to see how important it is or will be in the future, that's the hard part. And it gets increasingly difficult as time goes by.
It's a sad commentary when we think, it's been pointed out that people wishing to become citizens in this country take a test and pass, mm-hmm. have to pass a test that our children in school don't have
exactly.
to take. You remember the Jay Leno interviews when he'd mm-hmm. go out on the street. Mm-hmm. It was pathetic. So
yeah.
Maybe this will begin to testing, get students' attention,
address
Skip,
some
you
of
know.
That.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like on O'Reilly, Waters World. He goes out and asks questions
yeah.
like, who is this, who is that? And it is frightening when you see how mm-hmm. little our young mm-hmm. people know.
Well, basic, you know, who are our senators? Who is our vice president? Some
exactly.
basic questions.
We should know those,
exactly.
yes.
Exactly.
And how many senators do we have, and mm-hmm. how many mm-hmm. congresspeople do we have? Yeah, mm-hmm. it is something. So I really think that we need to put some, and if we did, would that change some of our feelings about where we're going in government if young people had to be schooled and understand it?
I think it might open some eyes a little bit, and I think it might make the awareness there. The caring part is difficult. Today we talked a little bit about empathy, actually, in class, in a government class, and I asked students, why do people not vote? What's the number one reason? And students said, well, a lot of people just don't care. So we talked about empathy. So they understand that. It's just making the connection how empathetic some of them are. So
right.
the connection to them is difficult to make that connection at times. So finding that secret is the key. I think they do have a lot of times have more of a head knowledge than we think they do. It's just getting them to apply it, to care.
Act on it.
To act on it, to do
right.
those
make
things.
Make the connections.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The connections are difficult. Real world connections become difficult. Everything is so segmented at times for kids.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's one of the reasons you asked why history is and why these places are important. You know, some wise person whom I can't quote, you probably know, said that if we don't understand history, we're doomed
to
create
repeat it.
And repeat. And some of the history, you know, mm-hmm. that even here in Greenwood County, we mm-hmm. need to know and understand as we move forward in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important to know our roots and why our values, as we were talking, the mill values that
mm-hmm.
continue within our community, even
sure.
though these kids have never worked in a mill.
Sure.
Those factors influence their growing up in the community. So it is important.
It's very important. I've always said, this is what you and I were talking about, was that I thought Greenwood Mills, one of the greatest things it did, it gave us a sense of community. Within each mill village,
exactly.
they had a sense of community. And today, mm-hmm. when a cause comes up or somebody's in trouble or needs help, our community is very giving and gets out there mm-hmm. and does whatever mm-hmm. it can to help. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes from the Greenwood Mill, the mill villages
so.
That we had. Yeah.
And they're still involved. Even you know, the Self Foundation, and people are still involved helping the community. This past Friday night with the Self Foundation, working with the museum and the train museum, and being involved in the community with projects, and do much more than many people recognize. And we're so appreciative for what they've done and continue to do. And you're exactly right. It's part of that community feeling that, mm-hmm. that Greenwood has and has always had. And if we don't educate ourselves and educate the next generation and the following
eventually
generation,
you'll lose it. Yeah.
We'll lose that connection. And it's so important to continue that.
That's right. You know, I do want to say, Chip, I thought that the event Friday night for the Railroad Museum was just awesome.
Thank you.
I mean, it was absolutely, I want to say, kind of magical. I mean, it was a beautiful evening, number mm-hmm. one. The food was great. The trains were all lined up there. I actually think I was one of the first to get inside the executive car and walk down through it. We posted some pictures from it.
Yes,
but,
I saw.
But and how important the trains were to Greenwood.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they're talking from the Cokesbury perspective. They were talking about the trains were coming into this area, and mm-hmm. the Cokesbury community, which was a utopian kind of community, said, "Well, no, we don't want the noise of the trains and the dis. We want to keep the kind of ambiance in mm-hmm. our community." So they moved the train station. Guess where?
Hodges.
Right to Hodges.
Exactly.
About
right.
a mile away, because you know the trains were coming in, and they recognized
the
that
trains.
This was
the trains. So, it's kind of like the planes.
And
yeah.
how much the trains were important to Greenwood and their history.
Yeah. And you're right. The other night I thought was very good to recognize, we continue to recognize how important trains were in our history. You know, first we had the trains, and then we had the mills. What's it going to be next? You know, we continue to have people to step up.
Right.
And we're fortunate people are continuing to step up in Greenwood, because we've had that. We want to focus and thank those people in the past and in the present, because if not, who, once again, who's going to be that in the
we
next 20 years?
We'll take up that next, which brings us around to the Historical Society, which is trying to keep all this alive.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the trains and things like that. My great-great-great-grandfather, Dr. Ephraim Calhoun, was the one that called the meeting to bring the trains to Greenwood.
Wow.
And basically the train was not coming to Greenwood. And he called the friends together and said, "Guys, we need to make sure we pony up, basically. We pony up and we get the train to come through Greenwood." And they did. And the first track came through. He gave up property for the betterment of Greenwood, and the trains came through. So that sense of working for the betterment of the community, and that's what we try to do in the Historical Society, try to make people aware of things that are important. We've tried to recognize homeowners in Greenwood as well, and it really started going back to what you said a minute ago at Cokesbury with the cookbook. Mm-hmm. And she had a beautiful home. Basically, where Lander and the new Miss Graydon, mm-hmm. where the Lander facility is now, and I remember as a child riding by there, and one of the most beautiful three-story homes right there. And one day it was gone, and Roses and Sambo's was there in its place. And through the years, there have been other homes in Greenwood, and you ride by, and the next day they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat in a meeting probably 6 years ago, and Pierce Stockman was the first one. He said, "We need to do something to recognize people in Greenwood when they keep their home, when they restore their home, when they do something to improve their home." And we try to honor and award homeowners in Greenwood every year that have restored, preserved, done things of that nature. And we have done approximately 20 mm-hmm. homes or properties in Greenwood. And we're not the Charleston Historical Society where we say, okay, once we've honored you, you can't do anything. You can't paint it. You can't. We just try to recognize them.
Well, that's if you get on the National Register,
exactly,
right? There
exactly,
you go.
Exactly.
Hey, I tell you what, let's hear a quick word for South Carolina news, and we'll be back in just a moment. Hey, you know what? You ought to be thinking about going on the Jefferson Western Davis driving tour. It's going to start at 1 o'clock. We're going to talk more about that along with a lot of other good stuff. Yes, we're historical here today right here on WCRS. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Have you put this down on the calendar for 4-4 Sunday after Halloween? Yes, you can go out and go on a drive, the Jefferson Davis route and stops. And, you know, we were just talking about Chip and Carol. We were talking about Chip Tinsley is with us and Carol Scales is with us today. We were talking about, how do you make history alive for kids today? We were talking about, Carol, you were talking about going on some of your trips. How many national parks are left on your bucket list here?
Oh, there's quite a few. I have ones in Guam, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico, but I'm saving those for a little bit later. But I've been to a number of them. I think there are 385 or so,
wow.
And I've been to probably about 120 of them.
Wow.
So
awesome.
Anytime I am close, and close is within 100 miles of a park, I make a detour and try to get there. But
What have you seen though, that the Park Service is doing to make history come alive for kids?
Well, I think their videos. They have updated their videos. They've updated our own video at Starfort, and we're fortunate as a county to have a national park here. It's an amazing jewel in our county that people
that we take for granted here and don't even go see. That's the thing about it. People come from out of town, and you go, "Oh,
exactly.
Yeah, Starfort."
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
I often do the ticket booth for the October evening walk through, and I'll always ask people where they're from, and they'll say Greenwood, and I said, have you been here? No, we've never been here before. Mm-hmm. And people coming from, you know, Sumter and Greenville and Greer to come. So but I think that's a way to make it alive. You know, kids like movies and reenactments, but then the little things that the parks are doing, and it's so much fun to find out that show people, either have costumed reenactors or have people. I was at, help me remember where the flag flew in Baltimore. can't remember where the national anthem was created.
Fort.
Okay.
Isn't that awful?
You're
talking to historical people who are older, so we're kind of forgetful. I'm sorry. But Fort, I want to say Sumter, but that's not it.
I have a picture of it, but I don't.
Right. Well, they had a great big flag out, and they had a busload of people, and a whole flag, and the people were all around the flag, and he told all the stories about the battle that was going on and how the national anthem was written and all of that sort of stuff. And he had questions for people, and as each person had answered a question from this busload of people, they folded the flag up. And they had a hands-on experience for adults, and I thought that was a very impressive. And there are little stories in all of the parks that try to do that. We have reenactors at our park in Starfort that are excellent. They come from all over the Southeast to do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I think that that's why history is really important, but we've got to try to reach it. Now, Chip, just for the record, how is membership with your Greenwood Historical Society?
It's extremely easy. If you want to join, $20 will get you a membership, and that money basically goes for us to just manage and maintain and promote the things that we do. The biggest thing that we do with our dues is honoring those people that we give awards for, the historical preservation and architectural awards for their homes. So that's the biggest thing. We also maintain Tabernacle Cemetery, so that takes a a good chunk of money from us each year. So those are the two biggest expenses. And $20 gets a single membership, $30 gets a family membership. And you can mail it to us at P.O. Box 49653 in Greenwood, South Carolina. And we have our meetings, as I said earlier, we have a meeting in January, March, June, September, and once again November, and again in January. And we do those at 3 o'clock on Sunday of those months at the Greenwood Public Library. And anyone can email me, ctinsley63@yahoo.com, ctinsley63@yahoo.com, and I'll be glad to take care of that and let people know how to mail any memberships that they would like. We also have a website, Greenwood County Historical Society.com, Greenwood County Historical Society.com. And Missy Lowry, our vice president, takes care of the website, and she spends a lot of time on websites and publicity and things of that nature. We have
a Facebook. Do you have a good organization? A lot of people joining?
We do. We basically work on maintaining memberships.
And
reaching out to as many people as we can. We try to publicize as much as we can to try to get new people, you know, to come to the meetings and try to find those that excite them. As we said, there was a one on textile baseball in June, and we got a different crowd for that one. We had a meeting last year on cemetery restoration and preservation and got a different crowd for that. So we try to get different topics to bring different crowds that would appeal to different people and hopefully bring in new members.
We did want to mention that members get a newsletter from us.
Exactly.
And for many members, that is the most important thing that they look forward to, because it has in it narratives from a book called, help me, Chip.
Greenwood History, Our Old Roads.
Old Roads.
And there Harry is Watson.
The old Watson book. And we publish parts of that book in every newsletter. And I know people have said to me, that's the best thing. I read that from cover to cover. So if you want to really...
That's pretty awesome. You get exactly. people that excited
yeah,
about
and,
it. Yeah,
and, you know, for a lot of Greenwoodians, that brings back a lot of memories.
Exactly.
So that's a contribution that comes out probably about the same time as the meetings each year, a little bit before. But that's also part of your
$20.
Exactly. So nothing you can belong to for $20 anymore. That's a heck of a bargain.
I think so. I think so.
That's true. Now, but you've decided to do this tour on the 1st of November, which is this coming Sunday. It's going to be from 1 to 5. You're going to start at the Bylow in Cornacre and finish at the Abbeville Chamber. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about the tour, and I'd love for you all to tell us the significance of the different stops, what they mean, and why this is so important. But I want to know, you got anybody that's going to be in antique cars?
I don't know.
That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Or a carriage. That
well,
would
anybody
be
out
better.
There who has an antique car and would like to come along, we
they
would love to have
yeah,
you, right?
That's right, exactly.
That's right.
I was just thinking about that. That would be pretty awesome if you had some antique
mm-hmm.
cars along the way and just had a great time stopping and going on this tour. Now, does it cost to go on the tour?
No.
It does not. We've opened it to the public for free, and if anyone is just dying to give a donation to the Historical Society, I'm sure would be glad to accept it, but we're not going to require anything of it. We just want people to come and join us.
This reminds me of the Sunday drives, right? You
know,
remember, you used to go on a Sunday drive after lunch, yes?
Yeah. Fill up your car with friends and family, the kids, and come and hear some of the history of the county.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
They say every kiss begins with... But at Sharp Facets Gallery, every smooch begins with Sharp Facets Gallery. Which do you want? A little kiss or a big smooch? I'll bet a big smooch. So shop Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, for rock bottom prices. And smooch-able results.
All right. We are right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon having some interesting conversations off the air here. Kind of happens when you have two, a teacher and a professor here and talking about history and school and everything. I'm not going into it, but you can just imagine what I'm talking about.
Thank you for not going into it.
That's right. But let's talk a little bit about this tour. Now, it does start November 1st, which is this coming Sunday. Starts at 1 o'clock, goes to around 5 o'clock, and you're going to start out at the Bylow parking lot at Cornacre, right exactly. out there, what used to be the Piggly Wiggly.
Right.
Now it's a Bylow. Times are a-changing.
And it's not a historical site.
And it's not a historical site, but it's a good meeting place.
But it is across the street from a historical site.
Okay.
We're across the street from what we call the Lumley Place or the Lumley House, and about probably a mile from there is what is now known as Puckett's Ferry Road. And that is the original road that President Davis and his entourage came down. And they crossed at that point what was the Saluda River, and it was known as Neely's Ferry mm-hmm. at that point, and crossed Neely's Ferry and came up. Mrs. Lumley passed away last year.
Margaret Birch.
Excuse me, Miss Birch, who was a Lumley. Right, passed away last year, and she told the story, and her husband told the story of grandmother sitting on the porch and watching, and actually saw President Davis and the group as they came by in front of the farmhouse there.
Well, I had heard that the young daughters were sitting on there too, and it just has a great image of them waving at the Confederate soldiers as yeah. they're sipping their lemonade on the front porch heading out as the yeah. young boys are coming back.
Dr. Mobley sent me an email first of this week, and he said, Chip, I won't be able to make it, but I want to make sure you know that Chicken Lumley, I think they called him Chicken, told this story about his grandmother seeing, and I said, thank you, Dr. Mobley. I want to make sure we use that mm-hmm. that story, because we had hoped a couple of years ago when we first toured with this idea that Miss Lumley would be able to tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
And we would love to have started there, but we'll be able to show the home and talk about it as we start there. Also, one of our board members, Miss Charlotte Ross, who's a retired educator
yes.
as well.
I know Charlotte. Yeah.
We love Charlotte. Her,
it's almost like Scarlet, isn't it?
Yes,
Charlotte,
and
Scarlet.
She has a lot of that in her. But one of her ancestors has the Bible, and I'm not sure the exact story, but said the prayer at the inauguration of President Davis. So she's going to bring the prayer in the Bible that has been passed down in her family, and she's going to share that with the group as we begin our tour there at the area in Cornacre there, and then we're going to go from that point on. So that's kind of why we picked that area to start. We can talk about why and where they were coming from and what had happened previously and as they go in that direction.
Now, what year was this?
We're in 1865.
1865.
We're going back to 1865, mm-hmm. the end of April, the 1st of May, in that time frame of 1865.
So that was a beautiful time of the year then, too.
Beautiful time of the year.
Not
but
for Mr. Jefferson.
No, but I'm just saying the weather,
exactly.
the beautiful, it was
exactly.
would have been nice weather and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He had started with a large group in North Carolina, and every stop along the way, more and more people fell off from the group, and actually spent the night in an area near Cross Hill,
yeah.
somewhere near Cross Hill, mm-hmm. spent the night as well
large
and continued
County.
Across and came into what is now Greenwood County. And
they came this way because?
They were headed towards Abbeville.
Okay.
Exactly.
And
his
they were accompanied by two generals, General Martin Witherspoon Gary, Brigadier General, and General Nathan George Evans, and they both lived in Cokesbury. And so General Gary had invited President Davis to stop at Cokesbury mm-hmm. en route to Abbeville, where the president's wife and children were waiting for him. So that came, as we say, he turned right at Piggly Wiggly, or Bylow, what it is now, and headed on down the road. And we were headed towards Stony Point.
Mm-hmm.
He made a stop before Stony Point that... the home of, I forgot the name of the
Mr.
family.
Mr. Moore.
The Moores.
The Moore family.
We don't know where that place is. It's somewhere en route between the Oaks, the Lumley House, and the Lowry Stony Point House. And he stopped there for, I think, refreshment. And the family announced to President Davis that they had a new child, and they had just named the baby Jefferson Davis Moore.
Right.
And so the president allegedly gave the baby a gold coin, which he wore on his watch fob for years.
Until it got lost.
The family, yes. Family doesn't have it anymore. But a nice little story, which when recently Jefferson Davis's relative was a speaker at the McGowan House in Abbeville, and he did not know about that story, nor did he know that his great-great-grandfather slept in Greenwood County. Mm-hmm. So we invited him to come the next time he makes a visit this way. But a nice little story. And then he went on to Stony Point.
Mm-hmm. And so what was out at Stony Point?
Well, Stony Point is just an important site for us in Greenwood with the Smith family and one of our board members, Missy Lowry. And you may know Missy. Missy, as they have purchased that home and worked very hard. There's a great area there to see the original road that Mr. Davis and the entourage went through. So we're going to take time to be able to travel part of that road on foot, hopefully. And then Missy's going to share some stories of that area with us at Stony Point. And beautiful area. They've worked hard to make sure that the roadbed is easy to see and that we can walk through and spend some time there. Then we'll head to Tabernacle Cemetery, which is owned by the Historical Society. And we've spent countless dollars, and Carol and some others have spent, we've spent countless hours restoring the headstones.
It isn't exactly on the tour, on the route that Jefferson Davis would have taken, but it is the final resting place for those two generals that accompanied him. The Tabernacle community was the forerunner of Cokesbury, long before Cokesbury was a planned community where Tabernacle moved there, founded by the Connor family. Mm-hmm. And all that's left of that whole community, which was a very, well-known in the area, had an academy, had a store, villages, churches. The only thing that's left is a cemetery.
Now, how are the headstones? I always love looking at old headstones when you can read what's on them. I mean, are they still legible to read them?
Yeah. They are now. When we had them, they were in bad shape.
We righted them.
You righted them, yes.
We had
a lot of work.
Cemeteries are very hard to maintain. They were the site of fraternity initiations for years and Halloween events and things that like that. So, and a lot of the stones are very old. The Tabernacle community started probably in the late 1700s.
Wow.
So, some of the stones are quite old. But there are some beautiful stones out there, and even when we had it restored, the company that helped us do that recognized how beautiful they were, probably came from either the quarries over in Georgia or maybe even from Charleston. Mm-hmm. And, they didn't arrive on a semi here and delivered. They came by mule cart all the way up, and so there's a lot of history in how it got there. It just didn't appear like our stones do today.
And we've worked hard to maintain the integrity of Tabernacle.
I'll have to get out there and look at that.
Exactly.
I love looking at old cemeteries and seeing who died when and, the relationship. And
beautiful.
They put much more info on there than they do today, I think. Yeah.
And we have a benefactor.
We do.
With a family connection, Miss Joyce Bowden from Massachusetts.
From Boston. Mm-hmm.
And she traced her family and spent time there and came back, and she wrote a book about her family.
Four generations of the Connor family. The Connors were the family, after the Revolutionary War, Washington had all this land now that was America. Mm-hmm. And so he made it available to be settled because it was wilderness. And a family from Culpeper, Virginia, the Connors moved down, and they started a school and a whole community.
And you, there are plenty of names there that are connected to Greenwood.
Absolutely.
Herndons and the Clues and the Connors.
Yep.
And
Timmermans. Yep.
And the Clues.
So those names are any of the listeners' names. Mm-hmm. They might have relatives buried at Tabernacle and come out and see it.
My father used to take me to Tabernacle when I was little, and I used to go to a lot of cemeteries, and I didn't, talking about history.
Right.
He would take me to cemeteries, and we'd walk through, and I would think, why am I going through this place? I didn't really know, but the Clues, that's my family connection is the Clues, but he would always just make me do these things, and sometimes later tell me why, and sometimes not, but, you know, that's one that I didn't know exactly why, but I've put all the pieces together and the clues, Humphrey Clue and some of those that are there and at other places, the connection. But Tabernacle's a wonderful treasure in Greenwood County
for
those people. And we spent a lot of efforts with fencing and coping and working on the tombstones and things. And it'll be on our stop, basically, as Carol said, because those two generals.
That's very cool. Thank you. You know, I learned something new here today. That's the beauty of doing this show every day. We learn a lot
little
of different
nugget
things.
Here and there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that'll be a stop. And Ernest Pruitt, who is has taken Tabernacle to heart as well,
will
talk a little bit about the cemetery. And then just down, because Tabernacle Cemetery community really is the forerunner of Cokesbury, we'll go on to Cokesbury and proceed there to talk about what the importance of that on his stop. And we will point out the Gary House, which is still there to the left of the Little Methodist Church. It's been probably remodeled a lot and not authentic as much as it was, but it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Tommy O'Dell will speak on Cokesbury and its relevance. And Tommy spent... I don't know if we could describe the number of hours.
Mr. Cokesbury.
That he has
been
in
Cokesbury. And he loves Cokesbury and has great visions for it. And so I'm sure we'll do a good job in explaining the relevance. Cokesbury, you know, is the number two historic site for the Methodist Church in the world.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either. That's the fun of being on the commission.
I'm telling you.
I have to learn all those things. But isn't that amazing?
That is amazing in the world.
We get a group every 2 years from Wofford that will go spend
a 50 busload of 50 last year come from Wofford to do that.
And then they want to go not only to Cokesbury, they want to get the bus into Tabernacle as well, and they go and visit the cemetery. So, you know, you get a lot of these places that a lot of people don't know about right here in our town.
I think, you know, that goes back to Starfort. You know, we don't go to Starfort because, we've been there, or, but you don't think about the actual historical significance of it. You think about the fact, Starfort, that's a good day trip if you want some place to go. But
that's
you don't think about the historical. Well, same thing with this.
That's right.
I think people know there's Cokesbury out there, but so...
That whole community, I think it's fascinating. It's not on the trip, but a little side trip is that that group at Cokesbury were very educationally minded. They were avant-garde. I mean, to have a female college universe at that age, I mean, women just didn't go to college in 1854. But after the Civil War, they were equally as passionate about educating the emancipated black slaves that were in the area, and they started the Payne Institute right down the road from Cokesbury. And the Payne Institute was there for 10 years before it moved to Columbia to become Allen University.
Wow.
Just amazing.
And
a little monument back behind Cokesbury College. But Allen University's roots, and Allen University knows that here in Cokesbury. And we're trying to partner with them to explore and exploit that area and get recognition. So interesting stuff. It was a fascinating place. So Tommy will talk about... Cokesbury and its relevance and to the history of this community.
And then where do you go?
Then we're going to go through the beautiful town of Hodges and kind of follow the route and go into Abbeville. And, we weren't sure about that. It seems like, that's a long way to drive. We're going into Abbeville. But we just felt like we needed to finish up as the group did. And by this time, President Davis was almost alone. It was he and maybe a couple of other people with him, and he went into Abbeville, ended up at the Burt Stark house. He rested there, did not spend the night there,
right?
But did rest there, spent some time there, knew that things were closing in, knew the end was there. Very melancholy time, and went on to Georgia. And,
did he take his wife and children with him?
Yes.
Yes, that's when he picked them up, right, and they went on.
Picked them up and crossed the Savannah River around where?
Somewhere headed toward
Washington.
Washington, Georgia.
Georgia,
and that's where it all ended up.
But now, we will have a Jefferson Davis reenactor when we get to Abbeville.
Okay.
And we will see the murals in the Chamber of Commerce there that are relevant to that experience. So that will be our end piece.
It sounds like you guys have really worked hard to put together something really very interesting.
It's been a great collaboration with the Abbeville group. And, you know, that's how we work together. History runs across borders.
Yeah.
So it doesn't stop.
Especially
it
when there were no borders at that time.
That's right.
We were not here. Greenwood was not here. And that makes it even more important that it was prior to Greenwood being here.
Absolutely.
And still important to us and important to Abbeville, and we have worked together with them. And we hope to do something like that as much as we can with Abbeville.
Mm-hmm. I think that's terrific. Well, I have to give a shout out to Renee. You know, your lovely wife, Renee, I have known her for years, and I understand she was up in Asheville, so she couldn't be right here with you, Chip.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, that's right. So she's up there having a good time.
Thank you for the shout out to her.
She will be back with us, though. She's been getting some education, I understand,
Asheville. South Carolina Healthcare Association. She's on several committees with that group. So she's spending.
So painfully, she went to Asheville there.
Painful.
It was hard, but she did it anyways.
Amen. And we couldn't go.
Well, I think it's terrific that Carol and Chip came out here and told us all about it. This is fascinating. Certainly hope people will go on this November 1st. That'll be Sunday. Get the kids. Do an old-fashioned Sunday drive.
That would be great.
Yes.
We've had some calls from Winnsboro, Rock Hill, you know, Edgefield. So we're getting some calls from other places. So we hope as many people can join us as possible.
Yeah, would be nice if we had a good showing from Greenwood.
That would be good.
Absolutely. All right. Well, it is this Sunday. Now, how do people, do they need to call you or just show up?
They can call, but just showing up is fine.
As long
as they come, that's all that matters.
Okay, so November 1st, that's Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock. Be out there at the Bilo at Cornacre, and I think it'll be fascinating, and I'll be talking about it this week. So thanks so much for coming out.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Ann, for having us.
All right, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.